who come to you in clothing of sheep, by their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We were wolves, but now we follow the Lamb. And wear, and we wear it well, the clothing of sheep, which is what? It's wool. We wear, all of us Catholics, a bit of blessed wool in the front and in the back. The size of it, the thickness, the picture or not, the inscription on the back, that's all a matter of chance or of preference, although it is nice to read sometimes as you're putting it on. Whoso dies clothed in this garment shall not suffer eternal flames, the scapular promise. Nothing, though, is really required, not even that your scapular always be blessed, just that once in your life you've been enrolled in the scapular confraternity, as it is called. The scapular is sometimes also referred to as the dyed garments of the precious blood. It's a favorite old prayer of mine. My dearest Mother Mary, I beseech thee with confidence, obtain for me, although thy unworthy child, the blessing of God the Father, by covering me with the merits of thy Son, Jesus, that I may regain my eternal birthright in heaven. Clothe me every evening, sweet Lady of Mount Carmel, but especially on the eve of my life, with the dyed garments of the precious blood. Amen. Today is a solemnity of the precious blood, the last of the Sunday solemnities whereby in spirit we go back to Holy Week to visit, to linger, and to love, because Holy Thursday and Good Friday are just too busy, and besides, it's Easter, and we're all busy at Easter. But now we want to go back to the cross when it's not crowded, and see the blood again and the thorns. The thorns. The power of the blood, the precious blood, is the first and the last in the story of our salvation. And we tell that story in the course of a few days by means of our rosary mysteries. The first joyful, the Annunciation, all the way to the fifth sorrowful, the crucifixion. At our Blessed Mother's ascent, one drop of her immaculate blood was taken by the Holy Ghost for the incarnation, and God became a man. The last remaining drop, 33 years later, remember, our Lord bled out, that's how he died at Calvary, when the lance then searched for his side and opened it up, there came out blood and water to symbolize the Catholic Church and the seven sacraments. We today, among the thorns, gather grapes, good fruit, pressed in the passion, poured out on the cross, whose wine is made our blood and our cleansing and our all. Called down and offered up in countless chalices still today, flowing forth as from a fountain, these seven sacraments for souls, for our salvation. The precious blood subverted the devil's plans and Satan's revolutionary reign, and saved us, saved the slaves, who had been carried off by the wolf. Did you know the precious blood is actually the anti-revolutionary devotion in the Catholic Church, according to sacred scripture, according to theology and doctrine? St. Paul sums up, you are redeemed by his blood as with a great price. But historically, too, The first godless revolution, communist in effect, the French, eventually by the beginning of the 19th century, made its way into Rome, and the Pope was kidnapped twice and held prisoner in France. Some 50, 60 years later, the Italian Freemasons, in the secret society of the Carbonari, came to Rome, and the Pope had to flee down to Naples, flee for his life, Pius IX. But he was admonished by a saint, the Blessed Gaspar del Bufalo, founder of the Missionaries of the Precious Blood, to promote this devotion as the answer. And so he did willingly, and he promised he would institute a feast in July each year, a Sunday, for the Precious Blood. And so he did, before he was even freed, so great was his faith. But the revolution returned to Rome. The Pope ended up as prisoner of the Vatican from about 1870 until 1929, and that was the purpose for the prayers after low mass that used to be said. That was the original purpose. But now the papacy is suspended, lo these 70-some years. No pope and revolution everywhere. Its agenda established in church and state. Its agents ubiquitous, pressuring, piercing, probing, propagandizing. They push the poison down your throat and into your arm and through the vein to the heart. The lies are meant to go directly to your brain and to the soul. Population control is a great aim of theirs as well. Disturbing reports are coming in now of illness and of death for those who have received the experimental injection of genes. There's a respectable and a respected, renowned doctor on the national front, a certain Dr. McCullough, who recently reported that some 4 out of 5 expectant mothers miscarry in their first trimester if they've had the jab. However, to oppose the communist coup, which seeks to overthrow everything and which seeks our death. However, to get our lives back. A counter-revolution? One author, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, mentioned motorcycles as a possibility, specifically the Harley-Davidson motorcycle gangs you might see, especially traveling around the country in summer, and how wouldn't it be grand if they had a big rally in Washington, D.C., and as a matter of fact, the FBI actually has identified them as a million-man threat to government control. But the simplest and surely the first strategy to get back to normal is to turn it off and turn away from the TV. They say that if only 10% of Americans wouldn't listen, how that would affect advertising revenue and that whole brainwashing industry. But not only that, Facebook would have to go too. Our speaker yesterday for the young adults referred to it as fake book, and all of the rest of the social media to boot. Still, these are everybody else's thoughts. The revolution is everywhere, but it is defeated, and we are saved, not collectively, but soul by soul. Still and only by his blood, his precious blood, were we purchased at a great price. How is the blood applied? How does the freedom take place? The sacrifice of the Mass, the 7 sacraments, and do not forget the little sacraments, those sacred articles or objects or ceremonies which inspire us and also protect us because of their blessing. The sacramentals are for us ex-wolves, sheep's clothing. When we've died to sin, finally, our souls are dyed white with Christ's blood. But the scapular is brown. Why is that, do you think? I was thinking about that. Brown is the color of dyed, dried blood. It turns brown eventually. From a long time ago, that was the day of our baptism. And these are the dyed garments of the precious blood still today. Sign of our devotion to Mary Immaculate, to her heart, with which, remember, the story of our salvation begins, and in which our story, must end at death, which must lead to life. God's mercy is such that even if our life doesn't seem to show much in the way of good fruit, for the wages of sin is death, but the grace which is the free gift of God, brings us life everlasting. That gift always and only comes through, by, and with the way Jesus did at the beginning. Mary, his blessed mother. And it is as simple as that, the divine plan. So, there was a motorcyclist who, not that many years ago, who rode for recreation, but he got to riding with some of those wild Hell's Angel kind of gangs, got to know the leadership, and partied with them too, as they would say. In time, he gave it up. He converted, and he was baptized, and he became a Catholic, a true Catholic. He's a likable fellow. He's well-read and somewhat low-key, an attractive personality, a blue-collar worker, good at his job. Well, one day on a work site, he got talking to a man about half his age, a young fellow, and, well, you know how it can be sometimes if you're talking religion. After a while, he ended up giving informal catechism lessons during the lunch hour. Now, the work was ending. They'd soon be on another project, and they would soon part. And this gentleman gave his young friend a final word. He said to him, "You need to become a Catholic." Then he gave him a scapular, and he said, "And you need to wear this scapular." He did, but finally with the years, he lost it or it fell apart. He slave, as St. Paul says, to impurity and wickedness until his natural powers failed him. He destroyed himself by a sinful life. But he remembered what he had heard once at lunchtime from a co-worker at a job site. So the man's dying, and his ex, there's always an ex, ex-girlfriend comes to see him, and as people will, she says to him, can I do anything for you? And he says, yes, get me a brown scapular and a priest. Well, she found the brown scapular easily enough online. Mary is our mother, after all. It's not hard to find her. But finding the father, the priest, that was difficult. Now, we're talking about true and valid and Catholic priests. The Pius X Society, they would never answer the calls that were made for this sick call, even though repeated messages were left. As it turns out, we're told now that they're a one world church group, and they accept the modern sacraments, and they didn't want to annoy the local bishop. And so to avoid problems, they only give last rites anymore to their own followers. The Catholic clergy, whom they call sedevacantes, the Catholics were very, very far away, and they said, well, you better get the Pius X priests, but then see above, nobody was coming. So an out-of-town, out-of-state priest flies. He makes a long trip to see this dying man. And he instructed him, and he baptized him, and he enrolled him in the scapular, and the man died. Mission accomplished. Bad tree, good fruits. There were some grapes, after all, among the thorns. But it took one Catholic man and one Catholic priest to do the work to find that fruit and save that soul. But it was Our Lady found that soul, for whom our Lord had shed all of his blood, that one soul. It all started with her, with blood, one drop of her immaculate blood. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.